You're tuned to KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for joining us today. We're live tweeting the next hour at KUOW. We are going to tell you about a spike in suicides in Washington prisons coming up in about 10 minutes. But we're going to start this hour with the new Trump executive order on immigration. This revised order bans citizens from six majority Muslim countries from traveling to the United States. And to find out what this could mean for the Puget Sound region, we are joined by KUOW's immigration reporter, Liz Jones. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Bill.
What is different about this executive order?
Well, there's a lot that's different. We'll just hit some of the highlights here. It was mostly rewritten to address some constitutional questions that came up with version one and some legal challenges we saw there. One thing is the timeline. We have 10 days that this will roll out, so we don't have the immediate effect. We won't see the chaos at the airport maybe we saw the first time around. The list of banned countries you already mentioned, it's been narrowed down from 7 to 6. Iraq has been removed from that list. So, and then we look at current visa holders. It does not affect current visa holders or green card holders. This will apply to people who are seeking new visas to come here into the U.S., travelers from those 7 or those 6 banned countries. That could include people coming here for travel, for business, for study, for students. This will be a 90-day pause on issuing those new visas. So the government, what they say they want to do is review the security vetting processes for visas coming from those 6 countries. Another place we're going to see some effect is with refugees. The refugee resettlement program will be paused for 4 months. That's what we saw in the earlier version, so that's still the same. But it removes some language about religious preferences on which refugees get resettled here. Before, it would have effectively favored some Christians over Muslims in some of these countries. Another big change is that Syria no longer has an exclusive indefinite bar on resettlement here. So Syria is treated the same as the other refugees. And just one more thing on the refugees is that this still continues from the previous executive order. The cap on the number of refugees allowed to resettle here every year, that was lowered from 110,000 down to 50,000. It's still reduced to the 50,000 cap.
And Liz, what is the potential impact of this revised travel ban here in the Puget Sound region?
Yeah, so I guess talking first about refugees, our state has a goal this year to bring in 3,800 refugees, nearly 4,000 refugees. They're about halfway toward that goal, so 1,800 more still that might come in. If this 4-month pause goes into effect, it's really unclear what happens to those people still left in the queue. Agencies who resettle refugees here say those timelines get shifted back. You might have somebody who ages out of the system or their medical exam becomes expired. So they have to go back and start over on this process again. So it's really unclear how many more they'd be able to resettle after that suspension is lifted. The state's lawsuit said about 7,000 non-citizen people here, or non-citizen immigrants here, are affected. These are students, business travelers, all of that. We know from the earlier lawsuit, we saw a big tech response, right? We saw Amazon, Microsoft, Expedia join into Attorney General Bob Ferguson's lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
They were a big part of, Ferguson gave them a lot of credit as to why this lawsuit went forward and why the judge eventually put the stay on it. And we saw here Judge Robart in the Ninth District upheld the lawsuit and agreed with Ferguson, saying that this does cause a lot of harm to employment, education, business, family, travel, and those harms are significant and ongoing.
And I know you're talking to people who might be affected, Liz. What are you finding out?
Well, one person I talked to was Rita Zawida, and she is the CEO. It's called SCM Medical Missions. They're based here in Seattle. It's a nonprofit that works with Syrian refugees overseas, primarily in Greece and in the refugee camp in Jordan. She also works with Syrian refugees here in Washington State as they're resettled here. We've had about 250 Syrian refugees settled here, not many, since this war started there 5 years ago. So she says these Syrian families here, they're mostly worried about family members overseas who might not be able to make it here.
Because they just don't know if the rest of the relatives are able to come in or not, or the other family members that were not with them that came, that are sitting waiting to be vetted to be able to come, you know, because the kids hit the age of 18 or over, so they're split from the family.
So then again, talking about this kind of timeline that people are on, you turn 18, you get your own refugee resettlement petition that goes forward, so you kind of get split off. And so this 4-month pause, that could go on quite a bit longer for people. And if the government decides the vetting is not at the place we want it to be. There's a lot of back and forth and changing the security processes or changing the vetting processes. That could be extended quite a period longer. It's very disruptive in the resettlement process. And another thing Rita Zawaida was talking about is that many Muslim immigrants and refugees here are asking, are we still welcome? Are we still safe? And she said she's particularly seen this from Syrians who were resettled in the Spokane area. There are about 27 families there. And she said that they're even afraid to open their doors.
They have asked, you know, that we make sure that we get them cell phones because the kids are taking public transportation to get to school. And they're very afraid for their kids. So they want their kids to be able to call if there's any type of problems at all.
So a little different maybe than the Seattle area where you do see large communities together and a little bit more community support.
Again, we're talking with KUOW immigration reporter Liz Jones. Finally, Liz, after the president signed the first travel ban, Washington State, we became the epicenter of the legal fight against it. What do we expect to happen this time around?
Well, we know the first executive order was rescinded, so that is off the table. And what we expected was that these legal challenges would probably be moot because it's no longer a document to be fighting over. But legal challenges are expected. Attorney General Bob Ferguson is holding a press conference right now to talk about what's next on that. So we'll have more details on that later. Our reporter Ruby DeLuna is there and will be bringing us updates later in the day. And just looking at the constitutional questions here, I think some of those, what we're hearing is those don't go away. Those will still be debated. And to just tease out those issues a little bit, there's a constitutional question here of the president has pretty broad authorities when it comes to immigration and setting guidelines on immigration. But the Constitution and Congress also says you can't discriminate on religion or nationality, country of origin. Mm-hmm. So those are two things that are kind of butting heads right now. And we'll see how much this new executive order addresses some of those constitutional questions on religion and what the courts have to say about that.
KUOW's immigration reporter, Liz Jones. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.